Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead. For those of you tuning in for the first time, I'm your podcasting executive lab leader and co-host for the eLaborate Topics podcast. This podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-hosts, Taiwana Wilson and Lona Small, bring you topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help our listeners excel inside and outside of the laboratory. And today is a very special episode because I'm joined by my very own mentee, Miss Carolyn Henderson. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Stephanie.
Well, thank you for joining the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No problem. Carolyn, why don't you take a moment and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself as a medical technologist.
Sure. Yeah, my name's Caroline Henderson. I work at the UNC Hospital in Chapel Hill. I'm a medical specialist in the referral testing department. So I help to coordinate and review the genetic testing that we send out to reference labs. I've been in this position a little less than a year, and I've been at UNC for about 4 years now. Outside of the lab, I enjoy cooking and I take guitar lessons and I'm part of a church here that I really love.
That's so exciting. I love to hear what medical technologists do outside of working on the bench. So tell us a little bit, why did you choose the laboratory medicine as a career?
Right. So I think we talked about this the first time that we met, that very few people set out to work in lab medicine. And I am in that crowd. I didn't know about clinical laboratory science until I was in college. I was a biology major and was thinking about being pre-med, but I wasn't really committed to the idea of that. And my sophomore year, I was working in a research lab, and my job was really to like dissect and cut up rat brains. And I thought it was so fun. And so a friend of mine said that she was going to go to the clinical lab science program info session. And so I just kind of tagged along with her, and they started asking questions like, do you want to work in healthcare? Do you like science? Do you want to work with your hands and help people? And I was like, yes, all of these things. And so I applied and I got accepted to the program, and that's how my career began.
Again, I think it's so interesting. So many of us didn't immediately just seek out, this is a profession. There was just some type of serendipitous event that happened that kind of sold us towards the laboratory medicine profession. And so it's always so interesting for me to hear. Now, having been in the profession for a while, what is your favorite part of your role?
Yeah, my current role is a little different from probably what a lot of other lab scientists get to do. So in the referral testing department, we have a pretty big emphasis on lab utilization. And so we do get to go into the patient charts and read about why providers are ordering specific tests and is it appropriate in this situation. And we get to rope in our directors and have them review orders as well. And so I really like that part. In some ways, I feel like a guardian of the laboratory testing, making sure that it's being ordered on the appropriate patient, that it's the appropriate test, that we're going to send it to the appropriate lab, and that it's being done at an appropriate time. So I like advocating for the science of the lab tests. I like advocating in some ways for the hospital and making sure that we're using lab tests appropriately and we're using our money well, advocating for patients and making sure that, you know, they're getting appropriate lab testing done. And then I also really like, I feel like my job, I get to make order out of what seems chaotic sometimes.
Right.
So getting all the pieces together and with all of the reference labs that we use, they have different requirements and need different signatures and need different, history involved. And so getting all of those little details and then getting to wrap it all up in a FedEx box and ship it out, I think is really satisfying.
You know, I have quickly learned over the past, I'd say 2 to 3 years since we brought on our own genetic testing counselor for our laboratory, how just impactful this role is to as a service to the clinicians, as a service to the patients that they serve, a benefit financially, because we're ordering, we're truly doing like choosing wisely work, right? We're ordering the right test for the right patient for at the right moment. And that's really difficult when it comes to genetic tests. Sometimes it's really hard to tell what the patient needs or what reference lab it should go to. So
shout out to the genetic counselors, because I think I couldn't do my job without them. And I don't think they could do their job without me.
Yeah. So Carolyn referenced the first time we met each other, and that's exactly what we'll be talking about in today's episode. We're going to be talking about mentorship, because Caroline reached out to me through a professional organization mentorship platform, the ASCLS mentorship platform. And, you know, we quickly connected and just became, you know, a typical mentor-mentee pairing. I think it's run the gamut of what we talk about. How long do you think it's been? Like a couple of months to a year, Carolyn? What do you think?
Right. It's not quite a year yet. Maybe like 8 to 9 months, maybe. I'm not really sure.
We're pretty deep in here. But I think what we wanted to do was really come on for an episode and give both of our vantage points and perceptions and views of what mentorship means. So like I said, today we're going to be talking about mentorship. The mentor-mentee pairing is frequently guided by mutual experiences. And so both of us work in the laboratory field. Carolyn is my mentee and has been for some time. And she's going to help our listeners with some tips. If you're a mentee, you're searching for a mentor, what she looked for, what she's been able to benefit, all of those things, we're going to talk about those things today. So, Carolyn, I'm going to ask you first and then I'll answer. But what does mentorship and having a mentor mean to you?
Yeah, I think having a mentor is having someone, and they just have to be like one step ahead of you as you move forward. I think a mentor is someone who acts as a guide, as someone who you can bounce ideas off of, and they can provide new and maybe challenging perspectives to help promote some growth and development. Because I think what I'm learning is that change often occurs in small increments, and continuing to make small decisions over time will add up. Like if you're steering a ship and you change the direction by 1 or 2 degrees, that might seem small in the moment, but if you stay on the course, you'll end up in a vastly different destination over time. So I think a mentor is someone who can help you make those small changes and then stay on that course.
Ah, yeah. See, and to me, being a mentor, I have two other mentees outside of Carolyn. But at its most basic definition, I think mentoring is a relationship. And it's typically the mentee seeks out somebody that they feel like they respect or is doing like a job or a role that they would want to do eventually. In my opinion, there shouldn't be any personal agendas. You know, this should be, you know, something where it's not not finite or definite, but a mentee seeks out a mentor. It's not an uncommon model to me in many laboratories. I know most labs have a culture in their department that supports mentorship because that helps new technologists work with experienced technologists and get the helps and the tool that they need to succeed in the laboratory. Also, it's a choice. And so the mentor has to be willing and available to mentor the mentee. And so the mentor uses the benefit of their experience to help guide the mentee along and has to be available to them in order for it to work, right? So why don't you, and you can tell the good, bad, and the ugly. I won't be offended. You know, we'll just say you're talking about somebody else. I'm talking for a friend here, but discuss maybe the benefits that you've seen of having a mentor. You know, so why did you seek out, getting a mentor?
I think there have been so many benefits to having your influence over the last however many months it's been. And I'm a very practical person, so I thought of like some of the practical things that are different now versus before our relationship began. And some of those things were like, I think I had just accepted my current position or was applying for it when I first met you, and you were really helpful in me negotiating my salary. And that was something I'd never done before. It was something that felt really uncomfortable to me. And you were encouraging, and it was helpful to have you talk through that process with me as someone who sits on the other side of that table, as someone who is hiring and who is deciding salaries. I think you helped me get skills and tools and resources that I can continue to use. And you better believe that from now on, I will know how to negotiate a salary as I take different roles, and that I will do it, because why hadn't I done that before?
It just takes that one time. And you know what I always tell people, it whether it's negotiating salaries or it's having a difficult conversation, it only gets easier the more times you do it. But you've got to get that uncomfortable practice in order to get good and proficient at it. And it's like that with a lot of things in life. And so I can see why, like you said, it's a benefit to be able to kind of talk to another person who's not only been through it, but like you said, is sitting on the other side of the table and handling negotiation and get those tips from that person. So that's a great benefit.
And I think just the idea of like gently being pushed outside of my comfort zone is probably what is one of the biggest benefits as someone who really likes my comfort zone. I think, and one of those ways that you've done that for me over the last couple months is getting to go to the ELMC squared, the Emerging Lab Managers Collaborative Conference. That's what it was. Because I think management is something that's interesting to me, something that I kind of hope is on my horizon. But I never would have gone to this conference without your encouragement. Because I know about myself that I am quick to discredit myself and say, oh no, that's not for me because I'm not a manager yet. But you did challenge that mindset, and I'm so grateful that you did, because I think one of the things that the themes that was running through the conference is that it's important to develop your soft skills as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor, because anyone can learn technical skills, but technical skills don't really make ne don't necessarily make good managers. So you've helped me to seek out opportunities to develop those soft skills and to do things outside of the lab that I enjoy and will also be an asset moving forward. One of those things, I think I mentioned this to you last time we talked, but I have a break from school classes over the summer, and so I'm going to take a digital graphics class through the local arts council here, which is something like totally outside of my normal wheelhouse and probably not something I would have even considered without the conversations that we've had. So I think maybe like overall benefits of having a mentor is just kind of like someone to give you a little boost when it's easy to think like, oh no, that's not for me, or I don't think that's something that I can pursue right now.
Well, and I also think that it's a person who is kind of in the same reality as you that can think of things a little bit differently. And so when you mentioned to me that you were going to take that graphic design course, I immediately told Caroline, oh, that's an awesome idea because, you know, when we were starting the podcast, we were looking for graphic design people. And even when we're doing, you know, speaking engagements, we're always looking for people who can help us with graphic design. So it's, I mean, as virtual platforms continue to increase and grow, podcasts continue to increase and grow, and just people have different things going on, NFTs, et cetera. I mean, it'll only help you because, you know, virtual is the wave of the future. I mean, people are doing more and more things virtually. So having any skill in that area, I don't think will ever be wasted. But I love what you said about, you know, the process being yours and, you know, being gently nudged to go outside of your comfort zone. Because as a mentor, you know, you can help your mentee establish goals and then look at those goals from where they are in their own reality and generate options. But the process to get there is still their own, right? And so you can't own, I can't own that process for you. You have to eventually come to the decisions for yourself. I can help you, you know the skills of negotiating, but you still have to have the courage to go in there for yourself. And so really a mentor to me is just a person to have additional support as you go through, you know, what you're going through. So when you, let me ask you this, when you initially were perusing through, and I don't even know if this is how this happened, but as you were going through the ASCLS, you know, portal, what were you looking for in terms of a good mentor?
And I think you asked this just before and I didn't answer it, but how did I know I needed a mentor? I kind of stumbled my way into this, if I'm going to be really honest.
Be honest. We love honesty.
Yeah. And maybe that's a good indicator that you should look for a mentor if you feel like you're stumbling your way through your career. But yeah, so being part of ASCLS, I think on one of the discussion boards, there was a post about needing volunteers for the mentorship committee. And I had been exposed to mentorship in college through a ministry that I was part of and wanted to know how to be more involved in ASCLS. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I feel like this might be a good place for me to kind of figure this out. And in our first meeting, it was expressed that all the committee members should have been a mentor or a mentee at some point. And I was like, oh no, I better get myself a mentor. I, you know, want to help contribute to this committee and make this program better. I should know what it's like to be part of the program. So I did start looking through the ASCLS portal. And I think some of the filters that I used and how I ended up finding you included leadership and public health. And just a few people met those criteria. And then I think I read your bio and I saw that you were from Texas and I grew up in Texas. And I honestly, after reading your bio, thought there is no way this woman will agree to mentor me. She is way too accomplished. and then you actually accepted my request and I was thrilled. And I think we later realized that we were both on the mentorship committee and we were both on that first meeting. So it's been fun to experience this relationship in real time and hopefully use our experience to improve the experience of others who will also go through the program.
That's interesting to hear. Maybe I don't want to dumb my profile down, but I should make myself seem a little bit more approachable, I guess. I don't know.
It's not you. I think it's me. Myself.
I think for me, you know, why did I even put my profile on the ASCLS website? Like you said, I think I was in a committee meeting, either ASCP or ASCLS, and it was mentioned that, you know, you should be a mentor if you're not already signed up to do so. And so I put my profile up. But then also, as I was thinking and putting my profile up, I was, you know, I was talking through it, you know, what could I offer to somebody else? Obviously, it's an opportunity to give back to your profession in some shape, form or fashion. But I've always been a proponent of being a forever student and feeling like there you can learn something from everybody that you encounter. And so even though people are signing up to technically get guidance or support from me, I feel like I'm learning things from you guys because as I'm approached with different situations to give advice or guidance on, I'm going back and, you know, listening to different podcasts or reading different articles on how others did that same thing so I can give well-rounded advice. So I think it helps me also become a great leader. And so those are the reasons why I signed up to be a mentor. And so if you feel like you're listening and you have something to offer or give back or just want to make more connections, I would definitely suggest signing up to be a mentor or reaching out to a mentor to be a mentee on one of those platforms. But let's talk about our first meeting, because in all intents and purposes, we were two strangers at that point. how do you feel like the first meeting went? I had already come up with, I think, a little template for us to go over, but how do you feel like you were approaching that first meeting?
I think, maybe a little like nervous. So, like, is this going to be a good fit? Who is this woman? Should I be intimidated? But I remember going over the questions that you had sent me, and some of them were just like get to know you questions, and I, yeah, I remember you talking about how young you were when you took your first director position, and I think, I don't know, I think after meeting, I was like, this is going to be a good fit. And I don't remember exactly what made me feel like that, but I was like, yeah, this is a
Well,
good
that's good to hear, because I try to start out, and if you're listening and you're thinking about being a mentor, this is just how I do things. But I try to start things out with an icebreaker, because like I said, you're really two strangers that have never met before. And I'm not, even though my profile might look different, I'm not a super formal person. So I try to start things out with an icebreaker just to kind of relax the environment and the vibe and the situation. And then I go into like some questions that can help open up conversation and will help the mentee get to know me and help me get to know the mentee. Overall, you want to kind of come away thinking this will work or it won't work. And if it won't work, then I have a ton of other network resources that I can refer a person to for if it doesn't work, that's fine. But if it will work, I want to also know, like, what is the mentee's expectation? Are you looking for, a meeting once a week? Are you looking for me to be there at your beck and call? Are you looking for me to be responsive to every meet email? Or are you just looking for me to be available every once in a while? Like, what is your expectation? And what is a roadmap for what you would like? So some of those questions that I've used are, like, where do you ultimately want to end up in your career? Or where do you think your strengths lie? Or what does success in this pairing look like for you? And they're not necessarily, they sound like very hard questions, but I always send the questions to the person prior to time, so they have time to kind of thoughtfully review them before we meet. But it also is geared towards steering the mentee to really think about what they want from me, because I don't ever want somebody to walk away from our pairing thinking, well, Stephanie didn't help me at all. Not that this is Yelp and I'll get a review, but if I sign up to help or support or guide somebody, I want you to understand what is it that you're seeking from me.
Yeah, and I think it was helpful to have those expectations laid out from the beginning to like set a good foundation for moving forward. And I pretty early on in our relationship, I listened to one of the Elaborate Topics podcasts. I think it's episode 83 that talks about the difference between mentorship and coaching. And I think that was helpful to listen to as a mentee. Because one of my biggest takeaways was that, like, oh, this is my responsibility to initiate and to like the onus is on me to ask her questions. And I think prior to listening to that, I thought I was like more of the consumer in the relationship. But I think, yeah, having that from the beginning, knowing what each of our roles was really helpful.
No, ma'am, it is still your life. I'm just here playing a supporting role. I think we've got a pretty successful pairing. I mean, we talk very regularly. Things run the gamut between, what is Carolyn doing personally to what are her goals professionally. So what do you think? If a person is listening and they're seeking a mentor as a seasoned mentee, Ms. Henderson, what do you think some tips are for, having a successful mentor-mentee pairing?
Yeah, I think some of the things that I have really appreciated about our pairing is that Whenever I ask questions, you give me really honest answers, even if it exposes some of your insecurities, or even if you say, I don't know the answer to that question. I think it honesty is helpful. It makes me feel like I can be honest. It makes me feel like I can say, I don't know what I'm doing here and I need some help. I think coming at it with a teachable spirit as well on both ends, like you already mentioned, I think you model it really well what it means to be teachable. And I think that is one of the things that makes you an excellent leader. I think consistency has also been important in making this successful, that you do meet with me, every other week, as long as both of our schedules allow, and you follow up with questions from previous discussions. So there's also some sense of accountability. And also just you've been super resourceful. You've given me tools to take ownership of my own development, and so that I'm not just solely dependent on you. But I think that like I feel like we are both committed to this relationship and available, and yeah, hopefully both benefit from it.
I like that you said that I'm honest, even if it exposes my insecurities, because I do remember one time where Caroline asked me a question, and the only way I could answer it, I said, "Well, honestly," she was like, "Why did you do X, Y, and Z?" And I said, "Honestly, it's because I'm an insecure person. I don't know."
Which is so relatable. So am I
Honestly,
sometimes.
I just have low self-esteem. But you know what? Hey, I put myself out there. I'm not perfect. From a mentor standpoint, if you are mentoring a person, tips to be successful would be one, be open to virtual, because that will increase your network of mentees that you can work with. And so I've never actually met Caroline in person. Everything we've done has been virtual over this past 8 months. And as you can hear, it's been successful that way. And so be open to virtual. In person, I'm sure, would be an amazing experience also, but look for tips on how to make a virtual pairing work. Also talk about the obligations and what would be the guidelines for a successful match. What are they looking for from you, and what do you need in turn from them? And if you don't have the time or the bandwidth to meet those obligations, by all means, don't enter into it, because people's time is valuable, and you want people to get with a mentor that can, have the bandwidth and time to support a relationship to be built in a person that they can talk to. I would say active listening is a great skill to have. You want to actively listen to your mentee, and really try to understand what they need in that moment. And if you don't know the answer, just say, I don't know the answer, but I do have a friend, or I do have a professor or a pathologist that I know that will be, and I do that all the time. I'm like, I don't know the answer, but I can refer you to a person and connect you with a person who has that understanding. You shouldn't, I think, force an action plan or a person. And you shouldn't proceed, vaguely. I think you should try to be as clear as possible. But then also understand that you can't replace conventional training in their life. And so rather than trying to train a person, I think you can suggest, why don't you get lean trained or quality training? But you are not that professor or instructor in their life. So, like Caroline mentioned, we have an episode about coaching and training and mentoring and the difference between all of those, because there are some distinct differences. So, if we wrap up, what's a final piece of advice you would give to the listeners, Caroline?
I think for mentors, being willing to share both your successes and your failures, and in like the social media crazed society, there seems to be a lot of pressure to have it all together, but I don't think any of us do. And so I think in more ways it's helpful and more relatable and more human to expose like those non-Instagram worthy parts of your life.
Right.
Yeah, and then maybe for mentees or someone looking for a mentor, don't discredit yourself and know that growth occurs when you continually make small changes.
I love that. That's good. That's good.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Caroline and I have like a standing meeting set up, and I used our standing meeting to record this podcast with her. So thank you for agreeing to let me take your mentee
Absolutely. I feel like this is part of it,
time. You've learned how to be a good interviewee during this 30-minute conversation. If there is a person listening that says, okay, well, I kind of want to reach out to Caroline and understand more of what she was talking about, how can people reach out to you?
Yeah, because of our mentor relationship, I now have a LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn. So I'm still learning how to use it. So be gracious with me, but you can find me there, Caroline Henderson.
There you go. Thank you to our listening audience for tuning in to today's show with our special guest, Caroline Henderson, and myself as we talked about some essential information about mentor-mentee pairings. If you like what you heard today, share this episode with your science colleagues. And if you want to hear more of our previous shows, subscribe to us at directimpactbroadcasting.com or on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. You can be sure to follow me at Stephanie Y. Whitehead on all my social media. And until we talk again, have a great day. Be sure to tune in next week for another amazing episode of the Elaborate Topics Podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.